Well, I'm thankful for the love and the faithfulness of God. I ask for your prayers the Lord would meet with us and bless his word here this morning. I'd like to turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. The fifth chapter. There's given to us here a series of instructions for godly living that are relevant and are important and helpful to our lives living for the Lord. I'd like to focus on the 19th verse. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19 says, as we've written on the board, quench not the Spirit. What does it mean to quench the Spirit? We might begin by thinking, what does it mean to quench? If you have a fire that you quench, what do you do to it? You put it out, don't you? You douse it maybe with water or throw some dirt or something on it that suppresses the flame, that extinguishes it, that causes it to die down and to die out. To quench, it is to extinguish, to stifle, to dampen, or suppress. All of these synonyms that describe the idea of quenching something. In this case, it tells us, quench not the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord, we're told in the sixth chapter of Genesis, at a time that there was great wickedness on the face of the earth, so much so that the imagination of the thoughts of men's heart was only evil continually. And God said that my Spirit will not always strive with man. There comes a time when his cup is full. The cup of iniquity is full. It's run over. Time is out. There's no more working with. I'm thankful that our God is a merciful and a long-suffering God. But you know, there is a time that comes that the mercy of God it's brought to a limit. His dealings with mankind can find a limit. They said that there comes a time that my Spirit will not continue to strive, continue to plead, continue to coax, continue to wrangle with mankind, that I'll allow them to have their way. The Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. Jesus said that God is a Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's not a God that is a being or a man like we are, but He is a Spirit. And His Spirit that deals with mankind, said, will not always strive. There comes a limit or an extent to which He will strive no longer. Is the Spirit of the Lord then a sensitive spirit? I believe He is. He's sensitive in that the Lord has feelings. You know that? The Scripture bears that out. That the Lord has feelings. He's touched with our feelings. And the Lord respects. It's not that He's a moody God. It's not that He's just subject to the whims of passion like mankind might be. But God, in His infinite wisdom and even in His mercy, gives to mankind a will, a choice, that He says, this is your prerogative. This is your space that I will not encroach upon. I don't believe in the idea that is many times espoused in our religious world today of irresistible grace. That the grace of God, it becomes so overpowering that you no longer have an ability to even withstand it and say no. It just bowls you over, the irresistible grace of God. The Lord does not trample over the will, the choice that He gives to mankind. He respects our choice. He respects our will. And it is a sobering thing for us to think about, that the Lord gives to us the place that we can say no to Him, or that we can resist Him, or that we can turn our face away from Him, that we can ignore His pleadings and His dealings with our lives, and that there can come a time that the Lord will cease to deal. I know that that is a very serious thought for the sinner. It's a very serious thought for our world that runs headlong away from God. The day is coming that the cup will be full. The day is coming that He'll say, "I'll strive no longer." Thank the Lord, today is still the day of salvation. But it's not just for the sinner. And that's not this morning where the thrust of the burden is. But there is a potential for every one of us to grieve or to quench the influence of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. What is the Holy Spirit given for? I want to think about that a bit. Maybe before we elaborate on that, let's go to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. The 30th verse says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. This Spirit that is given to us for a very essential, needful purpose. Remember, Jesus said of the Holy Spirit that it is necessary that I go away. It's expedient that I go away, because if I don't, then the Holy Spirit will not come unto you. You know, the Holy Spirit did not spring into existence on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit wasn't somehow created on the day of Pentecost. So think about what Jesus said to them, that the Holy Spirit has been among you, or with you, but He shall be in you. We read even of Saul that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in the Old Testament, and that he prophesied under that inspiration, or under that influence of the Holy Spirit that came upon him, but yet could not in that dispensation come within him. Jesus taught us of the Holy Spirit, that His Spirit would be sent to convict, to convince the evildoers, the sinners, or to convince mankind of their true condition before God. Jesus said that no man comes unto me except the Father draw him. The Lord, through the office and the work of the Holy Spirit, convicts and draws men unto Himself. The Holy Spirit is given to teach us, to instruct us, to guide us into all truth, to empower us. He told the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So in the midst of the confusion of this religious world, of what the Holy Spirit does and how it manifests itself in our lives, it is not through an utterance that brings no understanding to us. It is not through a strange and unknown or language or utterance or babbling that comes out from the mouth. That's not what the Holy Spirit is given unto us for. But He's given unto us to equip us to live a godly and a holy life, to empower us to be able to live such a life, to guide us in the way that we are to walk, to instruct us, to give us understanding, all of those things that we've mentioned, and to comfort our hearts. And you know, in any of these duties of the Holy Spirit, the office of the Holy Spirit, He can be quenched in His influences in our lives. the starting point, of course, is that we must be saved, and that we are to go on unto perfection, or unto the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to give Him the rightful place and the influence over our lives, where we yield and surrender our will to Him in sanctification of heart. You know, there is an ongoing responsibility that we all have, no matter how long we've been saved and walked with the Lord, that we quench not the Holy Spirit's influence in our lives, that we not, as we think about what it means to quench something, that we not stifle it, that we not dampen the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we not suppress it. You know, the Holy Spirit has a place of utmost prominence in the church of God. He must. To set in order, to instruct, to inspire, to anoint. We believe in Holy Spirit leadership among us. That the Holy Spirit, God through His Spirit, sets in the body the members as it pleases Him, as He sees everyone is fit, and as He is able to shape and to qualify and to mold and to utilize each individual member in the place of the body that He wants them. It's not my place to say, hey, brother so-and-so, here's what I want you to fill in the church, and here's the place that I want you to fill, and here's what I want you to be in, and here's when I want you to speak, and when I want you to call a song and to sing, and here's the song that you're allowed to call. And the Holy Spirit is able to do a much better job of that than any mankind or ministerial board or governmental board or anything like that. We don't have missionary boards where we determine who's going to be called to be a missionary and where you're going to go to be a missionary, and all of those. That's the Lord's business. That's the work of the Spirit, to call and to place and to qualify and to enable, to empower, and to make effective what we do. Because if the Holy Spirit is not working in us, then it's dead. There's nothing of profit and value anyway. So it's not about how beautiful the sound to these fleshly ears. Oh, let's try to sing well. I believe there's value in that. But it's not in having a perfect harmony. It's not in having all of our timing. There are beautiful choirs that can sing perfectly, lifelessly. It is the influence of the Holy Spirit that we depend on to breathe through the mouth of a mortal minister. Lord, may it not be the minister's words, but You inspire the thoughts, the burden that You see as needful. And Lord, minister it to everyone according to his or her individual need. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He sees and knows the needs of everyone and is able to minister that same word unto every soul. We need that. You know the impact that a song can have as well? Have you ever felt that through a song the Holy Spirit inspire and give you courage and hope and just new life, it seemed like? You know, the Holy Spirit knows the songs that are needed in our services. You know, the Holy Spirit can lay upon our hearts to lead out in prayer. And I want to encourage us as the body of Christ. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't stifle His promptings and His leadings in our life. We need to know the voice of the Spirit. His is a still small voice. Do you know the sound of it? You know, you learn the sound of it in your closet, alone with God. You learn the touch of His Spirit in your life by heeding those little pricks, those little checks along the way throughout our everyday life where I feel a little nudging. You know, that's probably not the best to say. You know, I've got a choice there. And I'm not talking just today about black and white sin or not sin decisions. But there are a myriad of decisions in our life, in our everyday, that I've got to make a choice about. Whenever I feel that little check, you know, it's probably best to not talk about that. You know, it's probably best not to say that about that individual. You know, it's probably best to just not even go there. You know, there are times, if we'll listen and if we'll hear, that the Spirit wants to nudge, you know, I want you to read my word. Times that maybe a scripture come to our minds and, you know, we have a choice. What we do with that little spark. You know how easy it is to extinguish or quench that little spark. Throw a little bit of the dirt of the cares of life on it. I've got so much else crowding my mind and my day and so much else to think about. Well, I'll come back to that later and just kind of dismiss it out of my mind and go on and start thinking about that business call that I have to make and this thing that I have to... Oh, it's important for us not to quench the Spirit, not to quench when He comes and ignites just a little spark. A thing about, well, it's a little striker that can be used for welding or to ignite a torch or something. There's a little flint or something on there that you strike it and it just causes a few little sparks. You know, you're not going to start a big bonfire just with those few little sparks on a big old log. There's a process there that I've got to work with to build that fire up. From that little spark, you can indeed start a big old bonfire that'll warm a lot of people. You can from that little spark, but it requires some care. It requires being diligent at what I do with that spark. I've got to take and maybe have something that is combustible there. Have something that can catch that spark. And I might get down and blow on it. And ignite and brighten that thing until it's smoldering. And I don't stop there. I keep blowing on it. And I keep adding to it. And I believe as we think about the work, the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can either extinguish or quench, or we can kindle His working and His influence in our life. What do we do with it? Do you ever, when there is a scripture, oh, what is that scripture? There's something that says, or, you know, this reminds me of, you know, I believe there's a lot throughout this world that the Lord would like to remind us. Oh, what does it cause you to think of when the sun breaks over the horizon in the morning? Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are new each morning. You know, that's something that's like a little spark. That if I'll take that spark and give a place for the Lord, if I'll have a sincerity and a hunger in my spirit, you know, that's like that dry kindling that's just waiting for that spark. And when the Lord comes on and I see His sun rise and I see the painting of the Lord in the sunset sky, and I think about it. Or I see those clouds and I think, you know, one of these days He's going to come back with clouds, it says. And there are things that can trigger, like little sparks that can, if I'll allow it, if I'll not quench and just go on headlong, headstrong throughout my day, too much else to think about, too many other things to worry about. Let's give a place, an environment in my mind and in my heart, that the Lord can spark and kindle something. So mention how easy it can be to quench it. To just suppress it and keep going. You know, I found at times, sometimes it's at lunch at work. So you know what? I'm just going to spend some time with the Lord here. that the Lord's come, and just from a little thought, maybe driving into work, or that I read that morning, or if I, and I take, maybe jot down a few notes, and I, you know, that makes me think of this scripture. And turn over and read that scripture. Well, you know what? There's this other scripture. And before I know it, that little spark of a thought, of part of a scripture or a few words of a song have ignited something in me. And I feel a burning down in my heart. And I feel, I'm warmed, I'm encouraged, I'm challenged. There's a fervency inside that started from a spark. Folks, these songs, these aren't just worldly songs. And it's not a sacred book, right? This isn't canon like scripture. But I'm going to tell you, there's some songs in here inspired by the Spirit of God through adversity and heart. And it's founded so often on the Word of God and on scriptures. You know, that's a good spark. To wake up with a song in your mind, or doing your housework, or driving down the road to sing some of these songs. You know, that can be like a spark that we can take and fan the flames. But I've got to do that. I don't believe that the Holy Spirit, as sensitive of the Spirit as he, and oh, what a mighty power he has. But I'm thinking this morning of how he subjugates his dealings and his influences to our decisions. How will I allow his influence to work in my life? He's not many times going to come in such an overwhelming force that I have no choice. I can't think about anything else. But I have to make these little choices throughout my day. Am I going to give the Lord the space? Am I going to foster that environment within my heart and my mind? Or am I so busy, so preoccupied, that the Lord throughout the day, he tries to spark some, and there's just nothing there that kindles. And I go on and I don't even recognize there's a little ember trying to burn, and I just kind of brush on over it and keep going throughout my day. You know, I think many times those places that the Lord wants to work and do something great in my life, he's never able to get to that place because I stifle it. I can suppress it. When the Lord's wanting to even awaken something within me or bring me to a greater awareness of something, maybe about myself or of something of him, that maybe I get a little bit of a glimpse or of a glimmer, and then I go on and I think about what James said, the warning that he gave us, where he said, don't be just a hearer of the word and not a doer. Because if you hear the word of God and you don't put it into practice, you don't do anything about it, you deceive yourself. It doesn't benefit you then. We can hear the word of God and go on, and maybe I hear it and I recognize something in it that, yes, that's true, that's right. But you know, the Lord doesn't want the spark of his word to go out when we go out of those doors. I have a responsibility as a minister of the gospel. Lord, help me. Lord, give me a spark. Give me a flame to bring. You know, every one of us have a responsibility to, what will I do with that spark? It's not just the minister's responsibility to come bring the bonfire. And I can just come and sit and I just can't help it. I combust. This isn't spontaneous combustion. I'm going to have to make a choice. What do I do? Maybe it's a spark. Maybe it's something, well, there's nothing that special about that message. But what do I do with it? Do you ever write down the scriptures? I'm not trying to mandate it, but do you ever take and write down the scriptures? What do you do with them after that? Do you go back and study and search and say, Lord, kind of like the cow chewing on his cud, Lord, I want to foster something here. Lord, what do you want to do with this? there's something here that's a spark that's so easy for me to go on my way and forget about it. And I have, in essence, quenched the Spirit. His desire to work and to stir and to bring me to a place. He started, but so easily I can quench that. The next scripture after that in 1 Thessalonians is said, despise not prophesying. You know, that's one of the ways that we don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophesying. And I don't believe that's just talking about somebody standing before you and saying, I believe in the year 2029 that such and such will happen. Prophesying, as we read in the New Testament, is most often speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit, or the preaching, the ministering of His Word under the influence and the unction of the Holy Spirit. And it says, don't despise that. Well, what is it to despise? We use that word most often in our language in a very strong manner to say, I hate that. I just detest that. I don't think that's necessarily what it has to mean. Oh, I hate hearing the preaching of the Word. No. But you know, we can despise it like Esau despised his birthright. To count it of low value or optional. If I have a chance to hear it, but if not, no big deal. What place does the Word of God have in our hearts and lives? Think about in Hebrews where he said in the 10th chapter, familiar to us, been quoted often, Hebrews, let me get there, 10th chapter. As we see the day approaching, there's instruction for us. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, this provoking, I think of as kind of fanning the flames. People do that in the world, provoking, and all the strife and warfare, and people just fan the flames. That's why the scripture says a soft answer turneth away wrath. That's quenching anger. The same idea, but we don't want to quench the Spirit. We want to fan the workings of the Spirit. And when we come together, I believe that's the Lord's desire for us, that I want to be able to help fan your flames as well. Maybe there's a little place, and there have been times I've come to service, and you may not know what I'm going through, and wrestling with things in my mind, and wrestling with emotions and things like that, and a testimony or a song or somebody just spontaneously saying, I want to thank the Lord what He's done. And it fans something in me. It causes a flame to burn brighter in my own heart. So I want to encourage us, don't quench the Spirit. If the Lord's given you something, tell about it. Share it. The Lord's given you a testimony, share it. It doesn't have to be at a defined time. Well, after prayer we give at a defined time. If the Lord's given you something and it's in the order of the Holy Spirit, you get up and you give it and share it and bless other people and fan their sparks, their flame. The thing about what was quoted by Matthew, spoken by Isaiah, a bruised reed He would not break, and a smoking flax He would not quench. Smoking flax, it's just kind of smoldering. It's not an open flame. It's not really burning yet, but there's something there. You know, there may be those that come among us that maybe they're not where they need to be. Maybe they're not measured up. Maybe they're not real spiritual, but there's something there. And our desire should be, Lord, help us to have something that we can fan the flames. Lord, turn that little spark into something that begins burning and that can consume their entire being. Provoke one another, stir one another. So don't despise prophesying. While the Lord wants to speak to us, let's count it as utmost value and importance in our lives. It goes on to say, After considering one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, this environment around us, this world around us, is not conducive to the flame of the Lord burning in our hearts. It is not conducive to it. It is so easy for that flame to become stifled and suppressed and quenched, and the heart of mankind to become cold in our world. It's why there is so much value in us meeting together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, brother, sister, be encouraged in the Lord. Our God is faithful. Let me tell you how He answered prayer for me. Know that He can do the same for you, and that I can leave encouraged and challenged and strengthened, but not only on Sundays and Wednesdays or whenever else we might meet, but throughout the day I need to have those places, those times that I come to the Lord and say, Lord, I got a little ember here. Lord, I got all this. It seems like it's going against me. But Lord, I've got an ember here. I've got a desire here. Lord, would you fan it? The smoking flax will He not quench. And oh, I'm so thankful at times that I've started just kind of smoking in my life. The Lord didn't come and just stamp it out. But He's come along, and I've seen where He's so tenderly. He's come and He's blown on it. And He's come and He's encouraged. But I've got to be willing. I've got to not quench the Spirit's workings and dealings when He comes along wanting to try to ignite and stir that up. Now think about the five foolish virgins in the 25th chapter of Matthew. It says, when they awoke and they realized, they said, our lamps are gone out. They've been quenched. They're extinguished. I don't have anything left. Lord, help us not to awaken to find out I didn't maintain the flame. I didn't maintain the oil of the Holy Spirit working in my life, the essence of His influence, of His grace working daily in my life. I've just resorted to kind of a form, just a lamp, but nothing inside the lamp, no power, no influence of His grace in my daily life. And the flame has gone out. Today, how's the flame? Is it burning brightly in our hearts and in our lives? You know, it's going to require maintenance, maintaining that flame in our hearts. You ever have a jar candle and you're burning it and you put the lid on it? What happens? In just a matter of seconds, that flame diminishes, diminishes, and then goes out in a cloud of smoke. Lord, help us to keep an environment, an atmosphere that is conducive to the flame of God. You know, I can have a nauseous environment of worldliness and worldly thinking and worldly desires and the entertainments and pleasures of this life that I've so filled my heart and my mind with, that the Lord comes and He tries to ignite and He tries to spark something, and just as soon as there's a little flame, it's just suppressed and put out because there's not enough oxygen. There's not enough spiritual oxygen. Lord, help us to maintain an environment that is conducive. Jesus talked about the cares of life coming along and choking the Word of God. Lord, help us to not let the cares of life choke out this flame. And I want to think about one other aspect before we close. 2 Timothy. The first chapter of 2 Timothy. Instruction Paul gave to Timothy. In the sixth verse, he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Did Paul bestow a gift upon him? Did Paul have an extra gift and say, here, let me give it? By the putting on of hands refers to the work and the infilling of the Holy Spirit that Paul prayed. Paul was praying at, not imparting his own gift, but praying unto the Holy Spirit, unto God, that through the Holy Spirit He would fill and equip Brother Timothy, you know it is the Lord through His Spirit that gives us gifts in the body. You know, every one of us have a gift, but I've got, what am I going to do with it? I think about the talents. Jesus said one man, he took his one talent and he went and he put it in the earth and he just covered it over. That's quenching what the Spirit wants to do with this gift, with this talent that He's given. What are we doing with this talent? I can look at it and say, oh, it's so little. You take and think of that talent as that little spark. Stir it up. Blow on it. And the Lord can take and cause that thing to grow. But it many times starts with a little spark that I've got to tend to. He said, I believe unto Timothy as well, study to show yourself approved. Oh, Timothy, stir up this gift that is in you. There's a gift. Don't stifle it. Don't quench it. Stir it up. Fan the flames. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Timothy, that's your responsibility. And you see if the Lord won't cause that flame to just burn brighter and brighter. Folks, every one of us that are saved, every one of us that have been filled with the Spirit have a gift, have a flame that the Lord wants to use. Are we allowing the Lord to use that in our life, that gift that He's given us? Or do we quench it with fear, with hesitation? Do we quench it and say, well, I don't know. Other people can say it. You know, other people can pray better than me. Don't quench the Spirit. If you feel that prompting, that nudging, of course, everything is to be done decently and in order with Scripture, must comport with Scripture. But when we feel that prompting of the Spirit, don't quench it. Allow the Lord to use that gift and stir that up, the gift that is within us. Another Scripture, I think it's in 1 Timothy, said, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Don't neglect it. We can neglect and it never really come to the fruition that the Lord wants it to be in our lives. We can live unto ourselves. We can think unto ourselves. We can live every day of our life just tending unto my own needs. And it starts there. We've got to tend to the needs of our own soul first. Unless we kindle that spark within our own heart, we're not going to have something to give to somebody else that can ignite them. But oh, if I'll tend to my own spirit, the flame that is within me, if I'll stir up and fan the gift that the Lord has given me, I'm going to tell you, you get a fire big enough, those wildfires out in the West, spontaneous combustion can happen. You can have a telephone pole or a tree before the flame even gets there. It combusts and catches on fire because that fire has grown so hot. The winds have blown it to such a fervor pitch and temperature that if there's something combustible nearby, it's going to be affected and caught up in it as well. Lord, help us to tend the flame. And I'll say for us as a congregation, Lord, help us to tend this flame. Lord, help us to tend this fire so that other people that I know are in need, other people, Lord, if there's anything combustible out there, Lord, anything that might be able to ignite, I want to be so on fire and so fervent for the Lord that they can feel that and sense that and be touched and affected by that. But it's not going to happen if I just sit with my hands folded. Lord, you're going to have to do all the work. You say, no, child, I've put the spark in there. What are you going to do with it? Every time I try to ignite something, you just cover it over and stifle it and quench it. I encourage us today. Quench not the Spirit. You pray for me. Amen.